Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Education, employment, housing, income, health, neighborhoods, incarceration, immigration, voter suppression. Policymaking is vital to making sure the bienestar, the well-being of Latinos, does not falter in any of these areas. Community members, organizers, and policymakers from across Texas will meet in San Antonio the first weekend of December for the Texas Latino Policy Symposium. They'll present ideas on how to increase Latino influence on policy. Today on Fronteras, we're talking to two members of the Texas Latino Policy Symposium Advisory Board. Dr. Belinda Roman is a professor of economics at St. Mary's University. Juan Flores is a coordinator and policy analyst with the LAFE Policy Research and Education Center. Flores explains why the Texas Latino Policy Symposium is necessary.
It's been around for a good 5 years now. Its purpose is to really help identify Latino community issues, help identify data support needs and research efforts that can help promote, inform, and influence policy decisions at the local and state levels that will help improve the bienestar or well-being of Latino families, particularly their economic mobility. It all kind of evolved going back about 7 or 8 years when an informal group of Latino and Latina researchers and some nonprofits had gathered to discuss the progress of Latino families in Texas economically. And a research effort came out of it where we compared progress along around 12 socioeconomic indicators of Latinos, believe it or not, across all 50 states. In other words, how well did we compare in Texas to Latinos in all of the other 50 states, as well as within the state of Texas compared to Anglos and African Americans? And long story short, we didn't fare very well. And out of that is what evolved the first symposium in 2017. And that's where it began as an effort to maybe do this on an annual basis to sort of look at our progress, but particularly at the with the foundation of how local and state policies influence that mobility or in fact created barriers to social and economic mobility.
Well, Belinda, you are an economist. Juan was talking about how Texas Latinos didn't necessarily compare very well to Latinos across the U.S. What exactly is it about Texas Latinos that we are not quite up to the level of Latinos in other parts of the U.S.?
Well, you know, yes, there have been a number of studies in a lot of different ways. You know, they're very compartmentalized. So we'll look at Latinos and their educational attainment, maybe K through 12 or things like that. Or we'll look at their economic advancement in just very limited ways and not an integrated way. And so what happens is when you start doing that, you see where they all fall, where we're falling behind, but you don't also see how they're all connected and we need to keep this long-term trajectory of Latino growth and empowerment over, you know, a span of 25, 30 years rather than just these little tranches of life. And I think that's what this symposium is actually highlighting, is the necessity to look at the trajectory of the Latino life cycle all the way through from start to finish and how we can help effectuate change in that way.
Well, policy, it all essentially does come down to policy. I think activists have the role that they play, but it all really comes down to how are you going to influence lawmakers? And I'm assuming that's what this Texas Latino Policy Symposium aims to do, to come up with some good policy trajectories, as you were saying, Belinda, to help influence how lawmakers respond to the growing Latino population and all its various needs. Because, I mean, we've heard that, you know, Latinos are not just this one group of people who hold a single ideological vision of the world. There are many branches to Latinos as far as ethnicity goes, as far as their religious belief goes, as far as their economic status. How is this symposium, and I'm going to direct this question to you, Juan, how is this symposium going to address that varied Latino viewpoint when it comes to Texas policymaking?
You know, around our second symposium in 2018, one of the outcomes became very clear, and that ties to your question. The realization that there are three basic areas that we need to strengthen to influence public policy in Texas and strengthen among the Latino community. One is building electoral power. While, as you know, our population has grown substantially more than any other population, population growth in and itself does not necessarily translate into electoral power. Number two is that we need to increase the amount of policy research directed at any number of issues in our community, whether it's in the area of housing, labor and employment, in terms of education. There's still an absence of good policy research. If you ask the question, how many Latino think tanks do we have in the state? We don't have absolutely none. We do have some sort of Latino research entities, maybe within some academic institutions, but they're not really non-institutional, independent Latino think tanks that dive into policy research, that attempt to bring that research to the policy table at the local and state government levels. So the second area that we need to strengthen is policy research. And the third one that came out of that symposium is the area of messaging. How do people talk about us? How do we translate our issues into our own message as opposed to someone translating for us? For example, the obvious one is how people talk about immigrants and how that gets translated into poor policies versus the contributions that immigrants make. So messaging is a clear area that we also don't control. And the kinds of policies that are needed in our community across a variety of areas. So these three areas, i.e. electoral power, policy research, and messaging, must all be strengthened, and they must work together to help influence policymaking at the local and state level. And each time that we meet, we are mindful that we need to work together across each of these sectors. And that's what we try to do. And thirdly, when we do meet, we ask folks to present presentations, not academic papers per se, but papers that actually focus on the specific kinds of local policies that we need or statewide policies in specific areas, whether that's in terms of employment training, in terms of housing and affordable ideas for development, et cetera. So that's what we attempt to do. That's what we try to facilitate through these symposiums and to garner support around these issues.
Belinda, have you noticed since 2017 any sort of motion on any of these three basic areas that Juan was pointing out, electoral power, policy, research, messaging? I know it's very short term to look at just the last 4 years, but has there been any movement on any of those issues since that 2017 symposium that Juan was referencing?
Yes, you know, I think that one and the subsequent one, we kind of honed in on very specific actionable issues like housing. And of course, always in education and the pre-K 4SA type of programs. But I think lately, the housing and the eviction issue and how it's tied to employment outcomes has really been, there are a lot of very good programs going on in all of the cities around Texas. And as we bring them together, we're hearing about those stories. And then they can go back to city council or to the county and say, you know, we need help. We need help here. We need money here. We need this. And I think that strategy is paying off because it cuts across all of those political boundaries and say, you still need a place to live. And it needs to be safe and you need your money. So I think we're seeing it, but we need that longer term story to kind of fit in. So it's always part of local and state government policymaking.
Dr. Belinda Roman is a professor of economics at St. Mary's University. Juan Flores is a coordinator and policy analyst with the LAFEP Policy Research and Education Center. They're both on the advisory board of the Texas Latino Policy Symposium. Still to come, how do you engage Latinos in the policymaking process?
And how do you translate, even when you talk about policies, to folks, everyday folks on the ground, how do you message those to the general public in an effective way that makes sense and do that from the standpoint of our families?
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Policy might not be a topic that immediately grabs public or media attention, but it impacts every aspect of our lives. The Texas Latino Policy Symposium examines the standards that need to be in place to improve the lives of Latinos in Texas. It places a focus on education, employment, housing, income, health, neighborhoods, immigration, voter suppression. These are all issues that interconnect. Take paid sick leave. Worker advocates believe laborers should not have to sacrifice themselves and their families because of illness and the loss of a paycheck. The legislature has shot down local efforts to pass paid sick leave ordinances. That's where this employment, income, and healthcare issue ties into electoral power and into redistricting. Today, we're previewing the upcoming Texas Latino Policy Symposium with two members of the group's advisory board, Dr. Belinda Roman, professor of economics at St. Mary's University, and Juan Flores, a coordinator and policy analyst with the LAFEP Policy Research and Education Center. Flores previews some of the breakout panels that will be highlighted in the symposium.
One of them is going to be redistricting. As you know, that's been a substantial issue in the press, and there's already been a multitude of suits filed against the state legislature, against the governor, in terms of the claims of discrimination. So that's going to be a big issue because of its potential impact of people not being able to elect their representatives in a fair way. And the long-term impact that you're going to have policies that disproportionately are going to be inequitable to communities of color, i.e., including Latinos, in all these areas that we touch on, i.e., education, housing, employment, et cetera, down the road. So that's going to be a major topic. And we have some excellent presenters that are going to give where that current state of affairs is with that and potentially. What can we do as a community to try to prevent it from happening on any number of fronts, whether that's legal or in terms of as an electorate? And so that's going to be one area. Then we have the other two panels where we'll have a series of policy presentation and discussions around those policy presentations in the area of education, labor and employment, housing are some of the key areas that will be presented. We have some keynotes that will highlight a couple of key issues as an overlay. For example, taxes. Now, none of us likes higher taxes, but the fact remains that we have a state that has a very regressive tax system that impacts low-income populations disproportionately. And here again, when you look at the bigger picture and integrate different pieces, that prevents folks and creates a challenge for people to be economically mobile when you have a tax system that impacts low-income people disproportionately. So that we're going to have a keynote presentation on how the tax system makes it very difficult for people to live, get out of poverty and makes it very challenging. So those are some of the highlights around the presentations. I do want to mention one more. We do have someone who will present around messaging, you know, again, in keeping with that earlier points that I made, the importance of messaging. How do you message in a way that people who are living day to day, trying to support their families, trying to keep their priorities on the front burner and convey what their needs are, you know, in effective ways? And how do you translate, even when you talk about policies, to folks, everyday folks on the ground, how do you message those to the general public in an effective way that makes sense, and do that from the standpoint of our families? And that's easier said than done. And how do you create those tools in our community to get those messages across? So those are the kinds of things we'll be doing. And one last one is that we have one keynote talking about building electoral power from the ground up. You know, when Belinda was talking earlier about housing as being one of the areas that's been worked on at the local level, when we've had these some of these more effective programs and people influence what's going on there, it's been because of local advocates that are building that local power that are doing that. And we have someone discussing electoral power building at the local level here in San Antonio and Houston and Dallas, and the kind of work that they're doing to get people involved civically to change policies from the ground up.
Well, Belinda, has the recent action by the Texas legislature putting up these electoral roadblocks, making it difficult for many people to vote, maybe people who have untraditional work hours, the only time that they can really go vote is at a time when polls would normally be closed. That's where 24-hour voting came into play. The legislature has taken some very severe actions in limiting the access to vote, in limiting health care for many people, and the people who are affected by these actions are mostly people of color. How do you see a symposium like this perhaps affecting policymaking in the future?
Well, I think there's two things that can come out of the symposium. The first is the strategy, as Juan is talking about, holding the legislative body accountable and saying, you know, you can't make these kinds of changes without disempowering and disenfranchising voters. And so there's that track, and we have, you know, MALDEF and those types of organizations that are filing the suits and saying, we're going to hold you accountable through the legal system. But I also think the symposium is an opportunity for us to think creatively of how we get around these restrictions while we're waiting for the laws to change. So how can we leverage the power of the community advocates who are on the ground and hearing everybody's stories and help get the votes to them? You know, say, come on, let's vote. Let's do this. Let's go out and do, we've got to get around it. And we have to stay engaged and not just simply say, you know, okay, well, I can't vote anymore. Because that's not what needs to happen. We need to keep engaged with the system. I think the symposium can help us say, here's where we're going, but here's also, let's think creatively of what kind of solutions we can use temporarily while we're trying to fight this battle and hold accountable and get our candidates in.
Well, I really like this sort of interdisciplinary collaborative approach you're taking. It's not just, we're just taking a look at policy and the advocates are doing their advocacy thing. You are working together sort of in a broad way of using that messaging to get that message across. Juan.
That's very true, Norma, and I'm glad you emphasized that. Every time we meet, we really try to structure the symposium one that has a statewide focus on Latino families. You know, we live across the state, on the border, in urban communities, in rural communities. We're farm workers, you know, we're immigrants. So the folks that we bring together, you know, both in terms of folks on the ground as advocates, researchers who are interested in trying to contribute with their research to community issues, to public officials. But the idea is that they're grounded in trying to improve, you know, the social and economic mobilities of Latino families, period. And we realize that it's a challenge. And the state has not made it easy politically. We're not naive. And what's happened in this last year, including, you know, trying to digress us from the focus of what needs to be done with these other sort of red meat issues that are floating around. Ultimately, you know, we need to stay focused on how do we build that social and economic mobility for all Latino families and bringing people together in a way to do that best, regardless of the challenges that are before us.
Juan Flores is a coordinator and policy analyst with the LAFEP Policy Research and Education Center. Dr. Belinda Roman is a professor of economics at St. Mary's University. They're both on the advisory board of the Texas Latino Policy Symposium. The symposium is December 2nd and 3rd at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. A schedule of talks and a link on how to register is at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.